to him, but when he comes, he'll come fix all this stuff. He's going to take us to a better place, a place where we can rest, a place where peace is. And I'm just excited to be there with him one day. Thank you, Brother Proud, for singing, and Brother Proud for the scripture, Brother Reese for the prayer. Dunn just led us in a very powerful way. It's good to see y'all. Y'all look so tired. Y'all tired? Goodness gracious. It's good to see y'all. I was in Jacksonville last week with the Northbound congregation and enjoyed my time there. But I'm always excited when I get back home. And it's funny, I was only gone a week, but I felt like I was gone a long time. But it's good to see y'all today. It's just been a good week. Yesterday we had a marvelous time cleaning out and working in the building. And I know y'all saying, hey, he just making that up. It wasn't that fun. It was fun. Wasn't it fun? Who came? If you came, we had a good time. Just cleaning and working through the building. And as we prepare to do some new things, some different things at Hart Street, one of the things you got to do is you got to clean up before you can start planning some stuff. But the people who came yesterday did a phenomenal job at really working to get our campus up, and we're moving forward, and I'm excited about that. And also I'm just excited and I'm full to see Eric back today. Yeah, I'm just excited and full to see Eric back. Eric told Brother Powell, he sent a message via Brother Proud. He said, when I come back to church, I want Darwin to preach on dry bones. Now, usually I don't let nobody tell me what I'm going to preach. But he said he wants us to preach on dry bones. So we're going to look at that in just a few seconds. We're going to preach from Ezekiel 37. But if you will, before we get there, sing with me. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. Lord, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. Oh, I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what's done for me. God, he gave me the victory, Lord, and that's why I love him. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. God, he gave me the victory, Lord. Yes, and that's why I love. Lord knows I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. God, he gave me victory, Lord, and that's why I love. Lord knows I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me.
God, He gave me everything I needed and more. And that's who I love. Lord knows I love Him. I really love the Lord.
Church, say amen. Isn't that true? You don't know what He's done for me. You just don't know. And let me be totally honest. Some of y'all, I don't even want to know what He done. Because if you knew what He did for me, you might judge me. And you might not allow me to preach today. Because God has done some things and have brought me out of some places that only He and I know. And I'm just so glad that God is God, and God's business and my business is just our business. Sometimes we got to sit down and we got to say, you just don't know what He's done for me. And that's the reason why I don't have any problem when anybody's shouting. I don't have any problem with you crying. I don't have any problem with you praising God, because I just don't know what He did for you. See, some of us have been in some real bad situations. Some real bad situations. And God has brought us out. And when God brings us out, it deserves for us to just praise Him. Because we just don't know. See, you know, I don't know what you went through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I don't even know what you went through today. But I know whatever it is that you went through, God brought you through. And I'm just excited to be here because God is that good. If you would, turn your books to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And that song just fits what our title of today's sermon will be. But in Ezekiel 37 chapter, we'll go through all of 1 through 14. But to get us up and running, we'll start and read verses 1 through 4. Is that okay? Amen. And it says in verse 1, then the hand of the Lord was on me. And He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, because they were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign God, only You know. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones, and said to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We'll take our topic. And I'd like to offer you up a topic from the day. Sovereign God, only You know. I think it's important to realize that there are some things that we go through, some instructions that God gives us. And the only reason why we do it is because God said it. See, if we look at this passage of Scripture and we look at Ezekiel, I think it's important for us to know the historical context in which Ezekiel is teaching. This sermon or this passage of Scripture was written during the 70 years of exile of Judah. Now we realize that, and y'all probably say, man, this guy keeps on preaching around the same time. When we were talking to Ruth and when we talked about all these scriptures that we're dealing with, is dealing with the exile of Judah, or what's going on during this exile of Judah. Why does he keep talking about what's going on during this exile? Because we are still in a revival mindset. And when we see the best revival, what we see when God has restored His people more than any other time, we see in the Old Testament, and we see when they're exiled, how God returned them back home. So Ezekiel is a prophet during the exile of Judah. And God comes to Ezekiel, and the Bible says that God had His hand on me. And it says, and the Spirit brought me to the middle of the valley. Now, I want you to understand why this first part of the Scripture is important, because Ezekiel could have said that I was in the middle of the valley. He could have said I had a vision about the middle of the valley. But he didn't say that I was in the middle or I had a vision about. He said, the Spirit led me. That's important, Because sometimes we think about where the Spirit leads, and sometimes when we find ourselves in valley-type situations, we believe that God had nothing to do with it. And that's not true, because God is the God of the hills, and God is the God of the valley. That's the reason why the Bible in Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So it's important for us to understand that what Ezekiel was getting ready to experience is a result of what God wants him to see. Now, I talked a little bit about the hills, and I talked a little bit about the valley. Everybody know what a valley is, right? Okay, the valley is that place that is in between two mountains, all right? And the valley is a dangerous place, right? As a matter of fact, if we want to look at, and just to get an example of how dangerous the valley is, we can look at the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was traveling to and fro, but he was traveling in the valley. Y'all remember? And they whooped him pretty good in the valley, took all of his stuff. And not only did they whoop him in the valley, that shows you a little bit about how treacherous the valley is, but we also see that the Levite, they passed him in the valley. So that means he got beat up in the valley and received no help in the valley, okay? So when we start talking about this valley, we're talking about a dark place, all right? And the Bible says that Ezekiel was led to the valley of dry bones. Now, it's important for us to understand that these are dry bones. And I think it's important because the Bible just didn't say that they were dry. One verse later says they were very dry, which means they have been dry or they have been dead for a long time, a long time. And he says, and he took him to the valley of dry bones and he caused him to walk to and fro or back and forth. This is important. Ezekiel has a vision from God. Ezekiel finds himself in the worst place known to man, the valley. And not only does he find himself in the worst place known to man, this is a treacherous scene because it says that there are dead bodies everywhere. Now, y'all got to understand, this had to be horrifying for Ezekiel. Imagine you dreaming and you having a dream where God took you in the middle of a valley, which you know is a bad place. And the only thing that's in the valley is a bunch of dead bones. Can you imagine what Ezekiel was thinking? God then brought me out here to die, right? God put me in a place where nothing is alive, and he then brought me out here and allowed me not just to come and see it, but the Bible says he allowed him to walk back and forth. So that means that if he allowed Ezekiel to walk back and forth, that means that the instruction that God gave Ezekiel did not come immediately. Y'all looking at me funny. Man. Y'all said y'all weren't going to do this. Y'all said y'all was going to stop looking at me funny. But you keep doing it. Ezekiel was not just in a vision of the valley of dry bones. He's in the midst of the dry bones. All right? Now this lesson is going to give us two practical applications. The first one is what we see in our daily lives. Right? Well, how we can evangelize like Ezekiel and hopefully raise some dry bones. The second lesson is how we approach our dry bone scenarios in our own lives. Because there's two things going on here. See, sometimes when we look at this lesson, we only look at those things that are outside of us. And we say, oh, these are the dry bones. These are the people who are not following God. And that is the text. We'll get to that. But we also have to be able to put ourselves inside of the text and say, sometimes we have our own situations that are dry bone situations. Oh boy. Y'all gonna be rough today. Brother Jones, it's gonna be a hard day today. It's gonna be a hard, we shouldn't have them clean up. They still sleepy. Sometimes you are placed in dry bone situations. There are times when you're in the middle of something and it just seems like everything that around you is dead. You are in the midst of nothing that is living. These bones are useless. You know how I know they're useless? The animals threw eating them. Ain't no flesh left on them. See, because if they were worth anything to anybody or any species, the bones would be dead. So that means even the scavenger animals left these bones out here. They don't even want them. So this is a useless situation. And God walks into Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, I didn't come out of my notes. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now watch Ezekiel's response. Because Ezekiel's response is a very interesting one. But I believe if we are honest, it's an appropriate response. God asked Ezekiel a question that he already knew. God knew the bones could live because he was God. He also knew that he can raise them and make them do whatever he wanted to do. But he asked Ezekiel this question, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's response was, sovereign Lord, only you know. Now, Ezekiel responded out of faith, but he didn't respond out of optimism. What do you mean, Brother Mason? That's two different things. Yeah, it is. See, faith required Ezekiel to say a few things. One, it required him to call God sovereign. The word sovereign means all powerful, meaning that he controls everything. So he says, sovereign Lord, or all-powerful God, only you know. Now, he doesn't speak with optimism. He doesn't say, yes, God, these bones can live. He says, only you know. What does that mean? That means that Ezekiel might have doubted that they could live. Ezekiel wasn't excited about being in the valley. But he knew that he still must respond to God's question with faith, even though he didn't like the situation. What are you saying? When we're talking about these dead bones, faith does not require us to like where we are. Faith doesn't even require us to have optimism about the future. All faith requires us to do is act. See, sometimes the reason why we can't respond like Ezekiel, the reason why we can't move forward with faith is because we're waiting for the situation to look like what we expect it to look like. We're waiting for the situation to look good. We're waiting for us to be able to see through the situation to the end. And what God is saying here, and Ezekiel's response is, Lord, you know, I'm looking at dead bones. I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't really know how these bones are going to turn out, but I know you know. So I don't really have to feel good about whatever you're getting ready to tell me to do. I don't even really have to know if these bones are going to move. All I got to do is respond in the way that you said for me to respond. See, we can't walk through some situations. I've been there before, and I know that you have too. We can't get through some of our situations in life because we just won't act. We won't act. See, we're still waiting to feel a certain way. See, God never said that we were going to feel a certain way. He didn't say, when you feel good, go out into the world and preach the gospel. Right? He didn't ask us about how we felt. He just gave us an act. And sometimes people like you and me won't walk. We won't move forward because we're waiting on a feeling. If you're waiting on a feeling, you might miss it. Because God don't always deal with feelings. But he always deals with obedience. So he says, son of man, can these bones live? And he responded, sovereign Lord, only you know. There's some things And we're about to get to the rest of it. But there's some things that you're going to have to be okay with. You ain't going to like it. It's not going to feel good. You're not going to be happy about it. You know, be no joy in it. But you're going to have to be all right with it. Because God knows. And not just a God knows. A sovereign God. Our sovereign God knows. Somebody might be sick in your life. It doesn't make sense to you. You ran out of money, but you had more money than you ever had. Anybody ever did that before? Got a new job, got a raise, and still been the same broke? Got a new job, got a raise, got more money, but still been the same broke. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. What's happening, Lord? Why can I get what? Well, do I need to keep this job? Do I need to do something else? Should I cut back my offering? What should I do? And we got to say to ourselves, God, only you know. Let me move forward. So then the Bible says, Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, speak or prophesy to these bones. Now, doesn't that seem like an absurd thing for God to say to him? And let me just say, if we were dealing in the world, and Ezekiel was driving, we're doing what God had told him to do in 2018, we would lock him up and put him in an insane asylum. Could you imagine that? Just think about it. Could you imagine going out into a valley of bones and you walking out or you driving by a valley of bones? Now, we don't have valley, but picture it with me. You driving by a valley of dry bones, and you look out there and you see a man out there preaching to the dry bones, what would you do? You would drive by, you would look, you might hit your gas a little harder, right? But you sure enough and say, that man's crazy. But Ezekiel went on ahead and did what he said. Why? Because the sovereign Lord told him. Only God knew. And he said, now, go ahead and prophesy into these bones. And prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He told Ezekiel to tell the dry bones with no ears to hear. Doesn't that sound crazy? Let me bring it close to home. You live in Nashville, right? Or close by. You live in a valley of dry bones. What do you mean? Everything around you is dead. You are around people that care nothing about God. You live in America, right? Dry bones. Why you say that? Did you watch what happened in Florida last week? Dry bones. Have you ever just paid attention to the president's Twitter? Dry bones. What I'm trying to tell you is that God has given us the same instructions. And if we're following like Ezekiel, some of the things that God said to us to the outside looking in sounds absurd. Why would we go be preaching one Lord, one faith, one gospel? Why would we be preaching save the world? Why would we be preaching love? Why would we be preaching those things to these dry bones? Because only you, God, know. See, so Ezekiel is in a situation where what God has asked him to do seems absurd. Just like when God tells you to go into the world and preach the gospel, when you look around at what you got going on, it seems absurd. You ever walked in your job thinking, I'm going to help somebody, and then you looked around and said, these people can't be helped. They dead. This is a valley here. You telling me to tell them to hear, but I can't tell them nothing. These folks crazy. You ever try to rationalize with somebody? They come to your office or come to you and say, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or mister or missus this, and they start telling you about a problem they have with another coworker or something that's going on in their life or what's happening with their marriage, and then you start giving them stuff that really make good sense. And when you start giving them stuff that make good sense, they start saying stuff that ain't nothing like what you just said. You say, girl, you got to forgive them. And he said, when I get home, I'm going to cuss them out. These folks is dead. But God says, prophesy to the dry bones. And he says to him, hear. He says, prophesy to these bones and hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter to you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord. Why is Ezekiel preaching to the dry bones? The end of verse 5 or verse 6 tells you why. When he preaches to a dry situation or to a dead situation, and then God starts to work out that situation, then people will know that he is God. Have you ever been through some stuff? Have you ever worked with somebody? Have you ever tried to preach the gospel and it seemed bad? Or you were sick and you couldn't get well? And people, everybody said, he messed up. He ain't going to live. He ain't going to do this. My father had stage 4 cancer when I was 5. When I was 3 the first time, second time came back at 5. He still to this day has about a third of his colon. My daddy been cancer free for about 30 years. But when at that point in time in 1984, it wasn't a lot of treatment to go around. And people were saying, hey, man, you're doing all this praying. You need to be preparing your wife and your 2 kids because you ain't going to make it. But God brought them through. And when God brought them through, when people look back over at his life, they say, well, why did God bring you through? Because when they see him, they know that God is real. We got those kind of testimonies. We think about our own minister. Our own minister been through some rough times. When I see him stand up, I say, I know God is real. Because he brought him through. So when he tells Ezekiel to preach to these dry bones, he's not just telling them because he wants to show him he can put people back together. He can, but that ain't the purpose. He's sure he has them doing this because when he does it, then the world will know that he is God. See, that's why I don't have to make sense to you. That's why I don't have to feel good to you. Because it's not about you. See, when God tells us to do something, we do it because when God does what he's going to do, when we do what he told us to do, and when he starts fixing these situations left up and fixing them back up, then people start looking and saying, "Woo." What happened there? Who is that? Who do they serve? He must be good. Why? Because what he did, nobody else could do. I'm sitting here right now with my friend Frank. Frank and I went to college together. And Frank came up a few Sundays ago, and he told us a situation about when he was going through. And I went to visit Frank in the hospital. And when I came to visit Frank, Frank shared with me that his mother had gone through a similar situation 13 years previous to that. And his mother was called on home to glory. And when I sat there with Frank and we were talking, and Frank was laughing and was doing good, and we were just talking about old days and everything, and Frank got to telling me everything that was going on, and he said, you know, Mace, my heart right now is beating at 26%. I said, 26%? He said, yeah, it's working at 26% of its capacity. But I'm looking at Frank, and Frank cracking jokes. And he's telling me, you know, good to see you, and we're praying together. He's telling me all this. And I'm looking at this man, and I said, ain't nowhere in the world his heart is beating at 26%. Because 26% should have him flat. But he's sitting up, and he's enjoying himself, and he's getting healthy. And I'm just watching it happen and happen. And I look back over at Frank, and I said, man, God is good. The doctors say your heart is beating at 26%, but your heart is beating at 100% of what God wanted it to be. That's the way it works. That's the reason why we preach to dry bones. That's the reason why we do what we're supposed to do in God's life. Now watch it. Watch it. I'm finna go. I'm about to get out of here. I said it a few minutes ago. This is the first time I said it? Okay. I got three more. Okay. So he prophesied to them. And then it says, verse 9, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breathe for the four winds and breathe into these slain, and they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet. And guess what he used them as? An army. A vast army. Now, watch this, because if we watch this really carefully, before he began to breathe life in them, the Bible says in verse 7, so he began to prophesy, and as he was prophesying, there was noise and a rattling sound as the bones came together, bone to bone. Why bring this up? When you start preaching the word out there in them streets, that's my boss saying it all the time. She said, Dr. Mason, you're working hard in them streets. And I said, okay, I'm trying. But when we go outside and start to preach the word of God in those streets, the first thing is going to happen. It's going to be some noise. Listen to me now. Some noise. Now, if you ain't careful, the noise will scare you away. See, just think about this. What do you think it sounded like when bones start clapping together? Sounded disturbing, I'm sure. See, but in the noise, if you ain't careful, it'll run you away. Now then imagine God, the noise started to happen. And what I'm telling you, the streets is going to start to talk. There's going to be some noise. And at first, the noise might be discouraging because they might say something along these things. Them people over at High Street trying to preach this one gospel. Them people over at High Street talking about they going to save the world. Them preachers, it's going to be noise like that, right? And the reason why the noise is going to happen is because you're starting to make movement, but there's no life yet. See, and then what happens is the noise. Now imagine this. Ezekiel is standing in front of bones that start clacking together. Then these bones stood up and began to get flesh on. And then these bones began to look like whole human beings. Now imagine being in front of a whole bunch of zombies. That's what that was, because it was just a shell. Now he's standing in front of this shell, and then he has to continue to preach. And when he continues to preach, God gives them life. And then after he gives them life, he gives them purpose. But he got to be careful. You can't get tired when the bones start making noise. And you can't get scared when you're looking at a bunch of zombies. You got to keep preaching, because when you keep on preaching, God is still working. And then God is actually going to take the people that you thought was dead, wrap them up, make them look like whole humans, and then he's going to give them life. And then when they get life, once they get life, they still ain't going to know what to do. But after he gives them life, he's going to give them purpose. You follow me? What are you talking about? When you start bringing people into the church, they ain't going to look quite like how you want them to look. They might be a little noisy. They in here. God got them in here, but they ain't all the way right yet. Don't get disconcerted. Don't be afraid when you see that. Keep preaching. Why? Because if you keep preaching, here come life. And when life come, now you got people that's ready to work. But they working, but they don't know what to do. Why? Because they've been dead. But then what happens? God gives them a purpose. What's their purpose? They become part of the army. You see that? And then in verse 11 through 14, God says, this story is just the story of Israel. They've been exiled. They are away from me. But if you continue to preach like this, Israel, I will bring them back. Now, Ezekiel, I will bring them back. And you see that God gave Ezekiel a task, and Ezekiel continued to preach what God said, and eventually Israel was reconciled and brought right back to their homeland. What I'm trying to tell you is that is no different than what God tells us in John 12. He said, but if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. See, there's a parallel here. If we do what Ezekiel does, then Ezekiel, we see that God brought Israel back to their homeland, back to Jerusalem. Well, if we do and we preach like Ezekiel preached, and we preach the word of God just like he did, we're going to find ourselves in the same way. God going to get us right in the middle in a valley. That's what we're in right now. We're in a valley of dry bones. Soon as you walk outside, look around. Dry bones. But God said, preach. Teach somebody. When you teach them, then I'm going to work it out. And when you work it out, just keep on preaching. I'm going to give them life. And when I give them life, what am I going to do? I'm going to draw them all back to me. The problem is not God's response is, are we good as Ezekiel? Or do we do the total opposite? See, it would have been messed up if Ezekiel had preached, but preached something different than what God had said. See, during this dry bone season, it was important for Ezekiel to be fully obedient. Y'all looking at me funny. During the dry bone season, it was important for Ezekiel to be fully obedient. That means he had to say exactly what God had said. What if God said, Ezekiel, tell him, hear my word. And Ezekiel said, God, they ain't got no ears. I got this, God. I know what you're trying to do. I'm going to work it out for you. Bones, get up. It wouldn't happen because that wasn't what God said. What if he had said, Ezekiel, tell him, hear my words. And he said, no, God, they can't hear you because they dead. What I'm going to go do is I'm going to get my sister in there, right? And we're going to come back together, and we're going to put together a choir. We're going to leave that alone. We're going to grab these bones, and instead of, we're going to put them in a stew. And we're going to use the bones to help season our meat. You know, anything that Ezekiel had done that was different than what God had told him to do wouldn't have got the response that God said. Why you say that? So then we go out into in the community, and God says, preach that my son hung, bled, and died on the cross, and that the way that you get to me is through him. We can't go out there and start talking about something different. Because if we go out there and start talking about something different, then we're going to get the wrong response. You follow me? This is the time for us to be fully obedient. Why? Because we're in a dry bone season. We're in a dry bone season. And if we listen to God the way that Ezekiel did, he'll bring us out. He'll bring us right on out of that dry bone season, and he'll cause for the people to be drawn to him. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible said it. And God had never lost power. His people got scared. Yeah, you hear that baby said, all righty. That's right. That's exactly right. It was no better response. God didn't lose his power. His people got scared. We start waiting for stuff to look good before we start working. We start saying, no, we can't preach to these people because they're not quite like exactly how we want them to be. We start saying, yeah, I used to knock on doors. I wish I could knock on doors now, but I'm afraid if I knock on them doors, they might shoot me. God said, go. Y'all follow me? Oh, I know. I know when it get quiet, I'm on your street. I'm about to knock on your door. Here it comes. If you're not preaching to somebody, you are useless as the dry bones. Let me take it even further. You are the dry bones. Why you say that, Dr. Mason? Why you say that, Brother Mason? Because the dry bones were not serving their purpose. They were dead. And they had been dead. We want to be honest. Some of us been dead. But we can do exactly what God wants us to do. All we got to do is follow his word. Just like Ezekiel. The word is simple. Real simple. Real simple. I think I got some on here on how I wanted to send his invitation, but I can't remember it, so I'm going to come back up. I feel like it was there. So, yeah, I knew I had some questions for you. What do you do when the Spirit leads you to the valley of dry bones? Do you think to yourself, the Spirit ain't never led me there? You would tell. You in it right now. If he led you to Nashville, he led you to dry bones. What do you do in your personal life when you're in barren situations? You know, sometimes we're in situations. I'm talking about one evangelistic, and then the other piece is, what do we do in our own lives when it seems like everything around us is dead? How do we respond? Can we respond the way Ezekiel did? I'm just wondering. But if we do, imagine what that scene would look like. Imagine in your own life, prophesying or praying or giving God glory when stuff is looking bad. Imagine watching your situations come together like bones. Little noise, back together, Imagine God not only bringing a skeleton back together, but imagine God clothing your situation with full flesh. Imagine God taking something that was dead and working it out, just like he said it was. And then imagine God taking your barren, weak, disgusting, dry bone situation and breathing life in it. Ain't that awesome? Man. Guess what? He does it for us every day. Man. And he can do it for you, just like he can do it for the people that's not here today. But we just got to have the faith, not to wait till it feels good, but to act on what he says. God sent his son, Jesus, to die. And Jesus came to a dry bone kind of world. And he died. And Jesus, let me tell you, let's be honest. Jesus didn't like his situation. Y'all know that, right? That's the reason why he said, let this cup pass. That's the reason why he said, oh, Lord, why have thou forsaken me? He didn't like the situation, but he moved on faith. And Jesus died. He got up on the third day. And he rose with all power in his hand. And when he did that, he gave us the opportunity to handle situations like this, just like Ezekiel. See, the reason why Ezekiel was able to pull that off is because of who God was. That's the same reason why you're going to be successful in your life. It's the same reason why you're going to be successful in bringing others to God. It's not because of who you are, how you look, who did your hair, where you got that hat from, is it a real fur or a fake one? It's because God is in control. I call you to a fellowship like that. A fellowship where we walk in faith because we got a powerful God. A fellowship where we don't fret too much over dry bones because we know what God can do. If you are interested in being a part of that fellowship, you can do it right now as we sing. Oh.